Roddy, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State, about to join the program. He gets set for showdown against the Bengals of Idaho State. Well, his season begins coming up on February 27th as Weber State takes on Idaho State in Pocatello. I don't know what they call it now, but it'll always be the mini dome to me. It's Jay Hill, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Doing well. You ready to start this season? This is crazy.
Oh, it's been such a long time coming. So we are. We're ready to go.
Well, I know that Weber State's ready to go with you too, Coach. I saw your beautiful extension. Talk about the extension, how it came about, and how you feel about it.
Well, this was just something that's been in the works for a while, and it was actually signed back in April. But just with everything going on with COVID and everything, just it didn't make any sense to announce it back then. There was too many other important things going on. But it was big for me. It was big for the school, just in that the relationship continues to go on, and thank heavens they're happy with me, and we love being here. So,
Coach, I'm curious, in an extension situation like that, how does that affect the your coordinators and your other assistants? Does that rework their deal, the assistant pool? How does that work?
Well, it just depends. Each school is so different on how they do assistant coaches' contracts. Some guys are on one-year contracts, some are on two, some are on three. Basically, what I have here is, as long as my contract is, the assistants are pretty much safe unless they do something really stupid or go out and get in trouble. But they're pretty much tied to me. Although they are on one-year deals, I'm not out there just firing guys to fire. So.
Well, let's talk about Idaho State, and let's talk about leading up to the season. We talked a lot during the pandemic and into the fall as well, and there were some weeks that were good weeks and some weeks that were bad weeks in terms of testing and things like that. How's your team been overall throughout camp?
Well, this has been the best we've been since the start of the pandemic. Knock on wood, obviously, but very few cases. I think the vaccines that are out there now and just the fact that a lot of people have already had the virus is helping with this. And so we've had very, very few cases in the last 6 weeks, and the team continues to roll forward, and we're just hoping that will continue.
Where are you at as far as practice, Coach? How are you feeling about your team, your roster, the guys' preparation, their commitment, their level of focus? Just in terms of getting ready for this season to kick off, where are you at and how are you feeling about this group?
Well, that's an interesting question. I was actually talking to my wife, Sarah, last night about it. It feels so different because normally in a fall camp, you can come in for a month and focus on football only. And it's not been that way this semester because these guys are in, at least 12 units. And school is such a heavier load than we're used to, say, when we're in August camp. And football camp in August is from morning till night, and now you're looking at, two or three hours a day. And so the ability to get out there and have as many walkthroughs as we normally would have had, or as many just hard physical grinder practices, it's just not been as feasible. Having said that, I don't think we're far off of where we would have been for a normal fall camp, but it's definitely had its challenges to do it this way.
This, and you've talked about this, this team has the potential of being the best team you've had there at Weber State. And even though it's in spring and even though it's a six-game schedule, does this team feel like they're embracing the special year that this team could possibly have?
No, I think so. I'm looking out my window of my office right now, and I see two of our best players out there on the jugs machine and catching balls, and they're two of our best guys. And I think that they feel they have a sense of what this team can be. We're going to have to stay healthy, and I've said that all along. And we're going to have to, battle the COVID situation the right way, which we have to this point. And but I think this team's got not got a chance. I think this team is special.
So, Coach, kind of walk us through this. You've got the six-game schedule, correct? You've got a six-game regular schedule, and then you'll start right into postseason play after that six-game regular schedule. Kind of walk us through what the season formatically will look like.
Yep. So we play three games starting Saturday, and we'll play three straight games, and then we have a bye, and that bye is really in there in case something gets canceled along the way. That bye week's in there for a makeup week. And then we play three more games on the schedule, and then we have another bye in case another game needs to get rescheduled.
Okay.
So it's an eight-week season. You play six of those 8 weeks. After that, we go to the playoffs in mid-April. And for mid-April, there's up to four playoff games that you could play to win the national championship. And that will be held on May 16th.
So you got to win four to get there.
I'll bet you're going to have to win five of the six at least. You might have to go undefeated get into the playoffs. And I'm just saying to get to the playoffs. And then after that, the way it's set right now is a 16-team playoff. You're going to have to win four games to win the championship.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, because I remember hearing a couple different alternatives here. Are there still auto bids, or is everything at large?
Yeah, so right now, the way it sits right now, there's 11 automatic bids. There's 16 teams that will get in, so there's only five at-larges. And they've talked about if more teams end up falling out or they just don't have enough eligible teams to make it feel like they can field a good 16 teams, they've talked about maybe a 14-team playoff where the top two teams get byes the first round.
Gotcha.
So, and again, I don't see that occurring unless all of a sudden there's just disaster strikes and we're having a hard time getting these games off.
Have you had to? Look, I know the coaching fraternity is extremely tight, but have you leaned on a few people to kind of get some ideas on how to handle coaching and how to handle playing football games in the middle of a pandemic with guys that dealt with it at the FBS level?
Well, you know what? I've talked to a bunch of guys, and I'll be honest, I probably should have done it more. We just get so engulfed in what we're doing and trying to get your own team ready that I'll use this week now a little bit to just make sure the travel issues, people that came across some travel issues that I'm straight on, and I'll continue to bounce some ideas off of people. But it's been so much just trying to get our own team ready to this point that, I guess it's both what you said.
Gotcha.
So much fun to think Weber State will be kicking off against Idaho State coming up this weekend. You got to wait 3 weeks until you get one back here in Ogden up at Weber State, and that's UC Davis is going to be coming into the stadium or into Ogden there. Coach, I'm curious if you've heard from city officials, from school officials, and kind of your ideas and thoughts on fan attendance. Can people start to buy tickets? What's work in the works there?
Yeah, so what they're telling us right now is 5,000 people to the first game, which is, I mean, that's a good amount.
Yeah, that's good.
Based on what we're going through. And we should sell those suckers out. With this team that's coming back, every one of those tickets, there should be waiting room for those, because these players deserve to have fans in the stands. And let's be real, at this point, I'm ready for a big attendance game. So that's what I think this country needs, and it's what the community needs, in my opinion.
Is there possibilities later on, as maybe numbers start to drop, that could be revisited and you could put more people in there?
I sure hope so. Myself and the AD have talked about it. I don't know where the state's going to be at that point, but I mean, we're looking 3 weeks away still before we get a home game, and I'm just hoping that as numbers continue to drop as fast as they have and with all the vaccinations that are out there now, that those numbers continue to climb.
Coach, for the Weber State fans out there that maybe haven't paid close attention, haven't followed along since all of this stuff has gone down, maybe there's been some coaching staff changes or maybe some changes that have been made because guys have left. Have you got any reports on different staff to look for or different play callers? And how much will that staff change when Weber State fans show up coming up in 3 weeks?
Yeah, we've actually had a lot of staff changes. Actually, you know, Quinton Ganther a couple weeks ago took a job with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that was pretty publicized. And, you know, that hurts losing such a phenomenal running back coach. But the ones we've replaced them with, I love. You know, Robert Conley was a guy that played for us at the University of Utah, was a great player, an all-conference guy. He's going to take over the running backs, and he's done a phenomenal job with that group so far since he's had them. We hired Boje Filimoyatu from Utah State, who I believe is one of the better D-line coaches in the country, and he's already made that group really good. And then we hired Andre Dyson to coach our corners, who, you know, the Utah fans remember him as such a great player at the University of Utah, and then played 7 years in the NFL, played in the Super Bowl, and I mean, those guys are lucky to be coached by him. So those are the three new faces on top of what I believe was already one of the best coaching staffs in the country. So I'm excited to watch these guys work.
What do you see out of Idaho State? What do you expect out of the Bengals in this one?
Well, they're going to give us everything they've got. I know that. This is an important game for them. They've looked at us as, you know, that program within the Big Sky that, you know, everybody's chasing. And if they can get their program to be similar to what we've accomplished here in the last 3 or 4 years, then they'll be on track to what they're trying to get done. And I know for a fact that this is a huge game for them. And it is for us, too. It's been a huge rivalry over the years. They've always played us well up there, and they're a tough team at home. So I, you know, just as coach speak would be, we better be ready to go because they're not going to overlook us, and we can't do that to them. We got to give them our best shot.
Do you know if they're allowing fans up there?
They are allowing 2,800 fans. They've given us very, very few tickets from our end, based on conference rules that I'll just publicly speaking, I'm not real happy about, just because I think this is about the players, and the players' parents and families need to be able to go.
Yes.
And they give too much to not be able to watch their kids play.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping like crazy that we get the tickets that we need for our players and that we get the 2,800 fans in there, because I really believe that the players deserve to play in front of someone.
Yeah, Coach Hill, I know you've got a really good close relationship with your athletes, with the guys on that team, and I'm just curious, in your personal conversations with some of these young men that are out there playing ball right now, how confused, how scared, how nervous, how distracted do they feel to you?
Not in the, most of them, not at all. They're ready to go play a season just like any other season, most of them. Some of them have had some struggles. You know, there's been some family deaths due to the COVID. There's always issues with this age group and all the other things that they have to overcome just in the world, with devices, with family problems back home. There's already things that they have to deal with, and then you throw a pandemic on top of it. But I think our guys have handled it well, and I think they're ready to move on. And, you know, nobody's being dumb. We're not saying that this is still not a dangerous disease, because we know it is. But they're ready to move on, and we're taking every precaution we can to keep them safe and those around them safe. I just think they want to get back to being normal, and I understand that.
What about grades? It would have been so difficult for me through this, Coach. Like, just to get online and to stay connected with professors, and if I'm not on campus or required to be on campus, I would have been all kinds of distracted. I don't know if I'd have been academically eligible for you. Are you struggling with that?
Well, very little. You know, we've actually had our two highest GPAs ever, and I think that our academic advisors have done a phenomenal job, and I think the extra time that the players have had, you know, to get work done, because there's just, man, they've not had as many required hours as far as football goes to this point. So our guys seem to be handling that actually pretty well. I'm with you. I would not have wanted to go to school with all the online classes that they're taking right now. I was a social, in-person guy that wanted to learn and hear it right from the professor's mouth. But that's just something that you deal with and you move forward, because there's no other way around it right now. Mm.
Well, Coach, excited to chat with you weekly throughout the season. Good luck coming up on Saturday, and can't wait to chat with you next week, hopefully talking about a big W.
Good luck, Coach.
Absolutely. All right, boys. Appreciate you.